It's really a joy to be here for both Carolyn and I, and me. We have two children, and we left them at home, so we could be together for a while, had a good trip up, and look forward to a quick trip back, although I'm aware that the guardian angel only goes 55, so you have to watch out. I'd like you to turn to a few scriptures. I'm going to read them simply to impress upon you our responsibilities together. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, two verses, in verse 18 and 19. It says, "Wives, be in subjection to your husbands, as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not harsh with them." And be not harsh with them. 1 Timothy, let's make it Titus chapter 2. This is the role of the older women with younger women. Are you older women teaching younger women? You should be. And this is what you're to teach them. Verse 3, Titus 2:3, "That aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers, nor enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good, that they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. The context in this section is directions given to younger widows. And the younger widows, Paul says, the younger widows should marry. And this is what they should do. In verse 14, "I desire therefore that the younger widows marry, bear children, rule the household, give no occasion to the adversary for reviling." That particular term, I shared that with one, that particular term, we husbands that like to dominate our wives don't like this verse. The verse says that women, they marry, they are to rule their household. Now that particular term, to rule, is a word that means to be the despot of the home. She is to rule the home. And perhaps we will get to that. I just wanted to bring the counterbalance to this subjection thing, that you women don't feel that we're browbeating you. And to Ephesians chapter 5. Now we read this, one of you read this morning, or this afternoon, early this afternoon, and so I'm simply going to read a few verses of it, and I'm going to read it all. Why not? It's the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, now I'm going to start at verse 21. Let's start at verse 20. We'll just keep backing up. Verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Even so ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his own wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ also the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. But I speak in regard of Christ and the church. Nevertheless, do ye also severally love each one his own wife even as himself, and let the wife see that she fear her husband." Let's look to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we come before you again this evening to learn from the Scriptures what it is that we should do as husbands and wives. And I pray this evening that those of us who are married may learn and implement these things which we have learned into our own marriages. We acknowledge our sinful nature and our tendency to be so selfish and to try to manipulate our mates to meet our own needs. May we not commit this sin, and may we seek to minister to each other. I thank you for the privilege of ministering the word here. May our Lord Jesus Christ ultimately be honored and glorified in all that we do, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. I stand before you not as one who has got it all together in the area of a marriage, in the area of a family. I am learning. I am learning in the study that I've been doing, trying to implement some of these principles into my own marriage. But I think that these principles are so important. The more I read, the more I look around me, the more I see so many forces bearing down on us as individuals in society. Most of us spend a lot of time in front of the TV. We spend a lot of time away from our homes. And so I think it's important for us to learn what the Scripture says to try to counteract these negative influences that are in our lives. You think of the different things that go on around us, the self-actualization that we're supposed to experience, our self-fulfillment. We need to have self-esteem. You know, all of these things, we need to meet our own needs. We need to do our own thing. Marriages are to be so liberally joined together that the wife can do her thing and the husband can do her thing, and they come and go, and it's supposed to work that way. The world tells us that, but the Scriptures tell us it doesn't. Experience tells us it doesn't. And we look around us and we see divorce rampant. We see wives that are beaten by their husbands. We see children that are molested by their parents. We see so many problems. And they're all so prevalent. No one is isolated enough not to experience these problems. Perhaps in your family, perhaps in this local church, perhaps just in your neighborhood and among friends. And so that's what stimulated me as far as studying this material. And hopefully we will all glean something from it and will help us in our own relationships one to another. You who are going to get married, you young people, think through the role that you are going to play of either being a husband or a wife, and start an endeavor to develop a character through the Spirit that dwells within us, to develop a character that is in conformity to the Scriptures. And I challenge you to do these things. It's the only way that we as believers are going to find a meaningful relationship with our wives. And in like manner, now we're not going to spend any time, really, significant time, talking about parents and children. That's just way too far, too great of an issue that demands too much time. But I will say this at the outset. Looking at myself as a husband, I will be the best father and the best example of a father to my children if I am a good husband. You will not be a good father. You will not be the good role model that your children need as a husband if you do not love your wife, and if we don't, as husbands, take care of our wives and we fulfill the biblical role that husbands are to have for their wives. Now, I mentioned this morning, tonight, as time allows, we're simply going to look at foundational things, things that are foundational in all of our Christian experience, and then try to relate them to our role as husbands and wives. What are some basic needs that we have? Some basic needs as people. I think they can be summarized in two principles. Because we are made in the image of God, because we bear His likeness, God is a personal God, and therefore we are persons. I'm not telling you anything new, am I? We're persons, we know that. But what is it about persons? What are the needs that we have as people, as persons, who have personality, that are significant needs, that needs that have to be met or that have to be dealt with one way or another? They can be summarized into two things. One is the need for security, that need for love and unqualified affection and unqualified acceptance by someone else. We need that. Each of us, males and females, we have that need for security. And we also, secondly, have that need for a feeling of being worthwhile, a feeling of a meaningful contribution to another person, a feeling of significance, that we are significant, that our lives are significant, that what we are doing, our jobs, our responsibilities, are not going to vaporize and simply go away as smoke. But we need to have that feeling, that confidence, that what we are doing is significant, that is meeting the lives or meeting the needs of someone else, perhaps maybe only one other person. But someone is being significantly contributed to by me. We need that, don't we? In our jobs, in our relationships with our family, especially in our relationship with our spouse, we need to feel that we are significant. Those two needs, and we remember them because those are foundational needs. Whether you like it or not, you have those needs. Some people deny them, and that's one thing you can do in awareness of what these needs are. Simply deny them, that we don't have them. I'm big and strong and I'm tough. I can handle anything. I don't have these needs. But what happens? What happens in the physical world? If my physical needs are not met, what do? Die, don't I? I am a person. And what happens when my personal needs are not met is I experience a personal death. And that's what happens if you ignore the needs that you have. Some of us men have a tendency to do that. Now, I think we'll dismiss that out of hand because we obviously know that's not the solution to meeting our needs. Now, secondly, we can meet our needs in achievement. For men, it can be in our jobs. It can be in what we do. It can be in the kind of position that we have in our occupation. It can be in the kind of money that we earn. An achievement, if it's significant, perhaps I have a position of status in the professional world. But these kind of things, as far as achievement are concerned, usually success is measured in earning power in our society. And if the farther you go up the earning scale, the more you have achieved success. Doesn't make any difference if you have to spend 70 hours, 80 hours a week earning this money. I need it. I need to buy things. And I think that living in a certain home in a certain neighborhood is success, so I'm going to dedicate myself to achieving that. And we seek to have our needs met in that area. Wives can do it in the same way. Wives sometimes reflect the social status of their husbands. Perhaps it might be in your clothes. You have to wear the right brand name. And there are many areas where wives, differently from husbands, can reflect achievement in their own selves, in material things primarily or in social standing. Now that is a counterfeit kind of a sense of worthwhile. We can feel that we are worthwhile in that sense, can't we? We achieve something and for a while we feel good about it. We feel that we've established success and that our life is meaningful, but that leaves us pretty soon and leaves an empty feeling because our deepest personal needs for security and significance are not ultimately met in achievement, in whatever area it is. The fact of the matter is, it might be in the Lord's work. You know, it might be in areas where you are really achieving great success as a teacher or as a Sunday school teacher or as a superintendent or as what the assemblies call a full-time worker. It could be something of that area where you spend all your time achieving this kind of a relationship where people look up to you. And what do you have? You have achievement. It has a portion of meaningfulness to your life, but in the ultimate sense, it is not meeting that deepest need of security and significance. Well, that's the second. The third area, and in relation to husbands and wives, this is what happens most of the time, and I have looked at my relationship and reflect it, is that we try to get that need fulfilled in our mate. And the song goes something like this. You know, if you could read the husband's thoughts at the marriage ceremony or as they are going through pre-marriage counseling, many would go something like this. The husband is saying, I want a wife to be attractive, to meet my needs socially, to be there when I come home, to have meals prepared for me, to respect me, to, even when I'm not a good husband, I want her to obey me, to be submissive to me. Even when things are not going right, she's to do this kind of thing for me, and that's what I desire. And I am trying to get my need for security and significance to be met in my what? You wives, if I could get into your mind, might be something like this with a husband. Before you're married, just as you're about to be married, you select a man, you select a husband to love me, to be concerned about me, to be to have gentle affection for me, to be thoughtfully considerate of my, and be romantically sensitive to my emotional ups and downs, as all you women have so well experienced them, you know, month after month. It's an up and down thing emotionally for most of you, and you say, I want my husband to love and be considerate of me even in spite of my gloomy days or my happy days. And if he is like that, then I will find my sense of security and significance met. Now, none of you experienced those feelings, surely. But that happens, doesn't it? That's the way we think sometimes. And why is it that we think that way? Because society around us, our natures, our sinful natures, we're selfish creatures. We're selfish and we want things to be done for us. And we look at relationships so many times in the dating relationships. We look at relationships and what's this girl going to do for me? Or you girls say, what's this guy going to do for me? What's he going to give to me? He's going to give me a feeling of love. Maybe he's going to give me a status in the high school where I go to school so that I feel more important and I'm looked up to by the other girls. And you fellas do the same. You want an attractive girl to make you look better, like you're a very popular, successful kind of an athlete or a performer of something. And that's the way we think. We're selfish. We have a sinful nature. And so what happens then is that these needs are met for a while on a surface level, but there is no loving husband that can meet the needs of his wife totally. There is no giving, loving wife that can meet the needs of her husband totally. It can't be done. Why? Because we're sinful people. We are selfish. We simply are not able to do that. All right, so the relationship starts and what happens? Well, the husband and wife live together in their honeymoon and they tolerate a lot of things in the romance of the first month, weeks, might be hours of marriage. And then one of them lets the other person down and doesn't meet those needs like that person wants him to. Maybe the husband is not as considerate as the wife wants him to be. Or maybe the wife is not as respectful and submissive as the husband wants her to be. So what happens? Well, then we start getting hurt and we experience pain in our relationships and we find out these needs are not really being met. So if they're not really being met, then what happens? We start to develop a shell around us that is protection from hurt. And we, as we build this shell around us of a layer of protection from the other person, we then hide our deepest innermost person. And then, in hiding that person, we shield ourselves from that hurt because that hurt is painful. And that hurt is something that we don't want to go through. So we develop these kind of protective layers in our lives. And as it goes on and on and on and on and on, pretty soon what we have is husbands and wives that live separate lives. They're friendly to each other. They're relatively considerate, but they go their own ways, and there's no deep sharing of themselves with each other. Why is that? Well, because when the wife might say something like this, when I share and really want to share my feelings with him that are really significant, I want to share how much I hurt in this situation, he just shoves it off, writes it off, pushes me away, leaves, and he is not concerned about it at all, and turns the TV on and watches the football game. And that's what happens. And the wife and the husband might say the same thing. When I come home from work, I want a wife to greet me at the door with a smile so that I feel that I'm accepted by her, that she gives me a feeling of significance, and she might say to him, why'd you come home late again tonight? Where were you? And the husband says, it's not worth it. He stays out, and he comes home late the next night because he's not coming home to anything that's meaningful, that's meeting his needs. And so we build up these layers, and there's really ultimately a barrier that gets wider and wider. Well, these areas happen in our relationships, and I'm likening these relationships here, especially in marriage. They can be in other kind of relationships, too. It might be with a friend to a friend, where you desire to have a meaningful relationship with a friend, and they rebuff you, and you say, what's the use? I'm just not going to reach out to that person anymore. So what do we do? What do we do? There is a fourth option, and this is the option for believers, and I want to stress that you cannot employ this option if you are not a believer. But for a believer, for one who has put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the significant thing is that our needs, our basic needs for security and significance are found in Jesus Christ. Now, if we put our trust in that, if we really believe that Jesus Christ has loved us totally, unconditionally, with an infinite love, He's loved us with a love that is freely given, it's not earned by us, therefore, since it's freely given and not earned, it will never go away. And I am loved with a love that is infinite in its scope, total, and my security is a security that will never be taken away, then my need for security has been met in the person of Jesus Christ in my relationship with Him. We as Christians have to come to that conclusion. Now, some Christians, we know it academically, but we've never experienced it. We keep seeking, you know, relationships with others when we know that the only totally satisfying relationship is with Jesus Christ. What about the need for significance? Well, our need for significance then is met in Jesus Christ again because as believers, He has given to us the gifts that we need to build up the body of Christ, to effectively minister to other believers, and especially our wives, their husbands, and we have now that capability of ministering in a unique way to a person that only I, as a husband, can minister to. And you wives, it's a unique ministry. You are the only one able to minister to your wife or husband as the Lord wants that wife or husband to be ministered to. So we have been given a meaningful relationship, a significance in our lives. Our lives are meaningful and worthwhile because of our relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, if that's so foundational, I hate to even stress it, but sometimes we ignore that. My needs are met in Christ. If my needs are met in Christ, then as I live my life with my wife, I can live my life as one who is going to minister to her needs. And if she rebuffs me, that's all right. Because I have, and I know, and I have put my trust in the fact that my security is in Jesus Christ, not in her. My security is in Him. The level of significance, or the significance that I desire is a need. The sense that I want to be meaningful and worthwhile in my life and to minister to someone else is found in Jesus Christ. He has given me that. So I don't have to seek it. So you see that in a relationship, then with a husband and wife, my basic needs have been met in Jesus Christ, now in my relationship with my wife, I come and I am able then to minister to her needs. Now, that's the same situation with the wife. You wives, and there are a multitude of relationships that we have, kinds of relationships that we have as husbands and wives. I'm talking generally, not about specific relationships. But one area I want to mention in case I don't cover it later, and that is what happens when you seek to minister to your wife's needs. You seek to understand. I'm speaking as a husband. You will understand. This is a vice versa role. You are to do the same thing as the husband as far as the basic foundational method of ministering to needs. But as a husband, I am seeking to meet the needs of my wife. I determine to find out what those needs are. You can't meet her needs unless you know what they are. So that means a little bit of study, a little bit of looking at the other person. Now, what are her needs? Well, said, she's a little different than I am. She doesn't think the same way as I do. How does she think? How does a woman normally respond? So we talk with our wives. Or we can seek the counsel of others. Women are emotionally, are chemically, are biologically, are psychologically different than we men are. Sad to say, there are some men, some Christian men, who don't know why women react like they do. Now, I've been married for 12 years, and I'm one of you. I don't either. But I know some things. I know some things, and I'm trying to learn. But the only way that I can learn is by seeking to go outside of my own selfish interest and to find out what her needs are. When I find out what those needs are, then I can minister to those needs. Okay, let's say that I minister to her needs. I'm very understanding and compassionate when she's in a foul mood. And she's just upset, and everything has been upsetting to her. And I come home, and she's like that. Now, I have several options. I can just write it off and just go to my room and leave, and that's it. I can be defensive and attack. Why are you this way? What's wrong with you? I come home and I want you to be this way. Why are you this way? And I can act that way. But I can act in a sensitive, understanding way and say, you know, why is it? What has happened today? I understand, you know, that you are not, you know, feeling very well. Is there anything that I can do to help? And in that way, I am not trying to get my needs met. I am trying to minister to her needs. Now, if she rebuffs me, what happens? What if she says, oh, you don't understand, you don't care, you know, what's wrong with you anyway? I can take that as a Christian husband. Why? Because I know and have confidence that my basic needs are already met in Jesus Christ. And so my need for security and my need for love and affection, you know, it's a need that I want to feel, I desire it, but it's met in Jesus Christ. In the same way with the wives and with the husbands. And I think that as we approach marriage, as we approach a relationship, an intimate relationship, one of, hopefully, of great intimacy, we desire that. We all desire that. But some of you wives and husbands have written off intimacy long ago. And you simply are a marriage that is just a marriage of convenience. You get along well, you have a decent relationship, but you seldom share deep emotional feelings with your mates. That's probably more a part of us men than it is with you women. I will say this. I have looked as I have been studying the role that I should play as a husband with the role as the wife should play as well. You know, these roles are different and they're compatible. But I've looked at my own marriage and found out that my wife plays a very good role. She's done a fine job. I'm the one that's been a real dunce about the whole thing. You know, I've been insensitive. I've been self-seeking. I try to do, you know, to get things my way. And it's a selfish impulse that we men have. And women, I think, are more giving in the short run, in the long run. Women are taught to be that way. Their example of the mothers in the home is that way, much more so than the husband is. And so I have to acknowledge and I pay, you know, tribute to my wife. She's met my needs much more than I've met hers. But I'm working at it. Hopefully, it will change. It's been changing, maybe. Don't ask her. We're in a hurry to leave. Don't ask her any questions. All right. But I will say that it's a difficult thing, though, for husbands or wives who try to minister to the needs of their mate, to understand their needs and to minister to them, when you're rebuffed and when there is no response and when they are not doing what you desire them to do. It's very difficult. But God has given us the Holy Spirit. There is no one has said the Christian life or that a relationship with a mate, especially if a mate is unsaved, very, very difficult, very tough. And yet, God has given us the provision to be able to minister unconditionally, to set out as a goal to meet the needs of my mate without requiring anything in return. Now, there's a difference between goal and desire. I think that needs to be said. A goal is something that I can accomplish all by myself. I mean, I don't need any outside. I can establish as a goal. I'm going to minister to my wife unconditionally. You know, regardless of how she reacts, I'm going to minister to her needs. That's a goal because I can do it. And I can set up a short-term goal. I'm going to take my wife out for dinner or for breakfast one meal a month. I'm going to take her out one meal a week, okay? One time a week, just my wife and I are going to go out and we're going to have a half an hour or an hour of interaction together, of sharing, and I can do that. I'm ministering to my wife's needs and I can accomplish that. But if I say I want to do this so that my wife will respond to me in a loving, affectionate way, what I'm doing is not ministering to my wife, I'm trying to manipulate her. I'm trying to do things for her so she'll return it and do it for me. And that's not right. That cannot be. It depends on your motive. You husbands and you wives, we do things as believers. We are obligated. The only way that we can feel the security and the significance of our Lord Jesus Christ is when we seek to minister to the needs of our mate unconditionally. Unconditionally. It was said this morning, and I understand what you mean, that marriage is a 60-60 relationship. I would suggest that it's 100%, 100% relationship. That's the goal, isn't it? That's the ideal. When I give in a 100% of myself to meet her needs, then I am doing what I should be doing as a husband. If she then gives of herself totally to meet my needs, then she is doing what she is obligated to do in a relationship, and we're going to have a oneness together, a uniqueness together, that is really what God intended for a husband and wife to have. A spirit oneness. A spirit oneness that we share our innermost selves with no protective layers around. What we do is open ourselves up to hurt. We open ourselves up to pain because they're sinful. I'm sinful. I will make mistakes. But the only way we can have that meaningful relationship that we all desire is to do that. Now, there are so many things in so many areas that I need to discuss. Just don't have time. Let's just simply run over the roles of the husband and the wife in this light. The husband then, as a husband, has several responsibilities. I think they can be summed up in three concepts. The husband is to lead his wife. He's to lead her in every area. And I want to stress this spiritually, is spiritual areas are the most important. Husbands are to lead their wives spiritually. We have a tendency not to do that, husbands, don't we? We can study the scriptures, and I find myself being able to study and to spend time studying, but I'm not leading my wife spiritually. I'm not helping her. I'm not contributing to her. And that is the primary area, spiritual leadership, as well as every other area. In every area, we are to be leaders. Now, how do we lead? We lead by loving our wife. And in Ephesians 5, it says it very clearly. It said, husbands are to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. Loving is giving. Loving is looking out for her needs, is to meet her needs. That's loving. Seeking to meet the needs of the other person. And when I do that, then I am going to be leading her, but I'm leading her by giving myself and ministering to her needs. Now that's something that we don't like to think about, but that's what submission is. It says in verse 21 of Ephesians 5 that we are to subject ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Well, if we subject ourselves, if subjection is simply ruling and being dominant, then if we can't, it doesn't make sense to be subject to one another. Who's going to make the decisions? Who's going to lead? What's going to happen? But what that really means, I believe, let me give you the suggestion that it means to subject ourselves one to another is to seek to meet the needs of the other person. Seek to meet their needs. In a local church, that's what we are to do. Seek to meet the needs of the other person. Our goal is to seek to minister to each other. And that's the way it is with husbands and wives. Husbands are to lead, to love their wives in a selfless, sacrificial love, and to honor, in 1 Peter 3, husbands are to honor their wives. To honor simply means to treat them and to count them as very valuable. Husbands, do you count your wives as very valuable? That's what it means, to honor. We honor our parents by counting them valuable and taking care of them. That's what it means to count valuable. If I have something like a piece of stereo equipment, and I honor it by counting it valuable, if I count it valuable, I'm going to take care of it. I'm not going to let anybody else touch it because I count it valuable. And that's what we are to do to our wives. Those three basic areas, they should be developed and expanded, and I'll let you all do that up at Amherst on Tuesday nights in a course that's being offered up there. Wives, there are several, I think it can be summarized perhaps in three words. Wives are to be their husband's helper. That sounds like I'm putting down wives, but I will say this, and I know it's true, that wives can be their husband's helpers a lot easier if the husbands love their wives sacrificially. Isn't that true? Husbands, if we love our wives, let me put it this way. Husbands, if you don't love your wives sacrificially, then you have no right to expect them to submit to you. And I think that's true, although we do. We expect that, don't we? But how does Christ love the church? He doesn't order the church around. There are directions that are given to the church. We have commands in the scriptures that we are to obey. But Jesus Christ does not force us to obey them, as husbands sometimes force their wives to be obedient to them. No, what Jesus did is He loved the church and He gave Himself for it. In Mark, I think it's Mark 6. It says Jesus Christ did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus came to minister. Husbands, we are to minister. We lead our wives by ministering to their needs, and they will respond by being our helper in all kinds of areas, helping us with our spiritual awareness, our spiritual leadership. They can help us. Help us as parents. We haven't even talked about that. But submission to a parent is so much easier if it's a loving parent. But you wives, if your sense of security and your sense of significance and you believe it to be found in the Lord and you really believe it, then you don't need a loving husband. You don't have to have a loving husband to be submissive to him. And you unsaved, you wives that have unsaved husbands, this is dealt with in 1 Peter. You be a wife that meets the needs of your husband in security and in significance, and that's how you're going to win him to the Lord. That's what 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 3. That's a difficult. I take my hats off to you unsaved mates, to those of you who have unsaved mates, because it is so difficult, it is so hard to live a life of giving, of giving, of giving, of ministry to their needs, and not get anything in return. But the Lord will honor that. The Lord will honor it. And there are situations, I was reading just one, where a wife lived with her husband. He beat her. He was very rough with her. 5 children, and the children were abused as well. She felt obligated to stay with him. She was a Christian. And so she stayed with him, she prayed with him, and she sought to be a loving wife who met his needs. After 16 years, he came to know the Lord as his Savior, and 2 months later, he was killed in an automobile accident. And that family, all of those children, have that testimony that God works. God works in a situation. It may take a long time, and it's very arduous and very hard. God gives us the grace, and I have a wife who is a believer. I don't know the emotional and spiritual and physical strain that you who have unsaved mates are under, but I know that God has promised to meet the needs, and if we have our sense of security and significance in Him, He will. And the other is that she is to be a homemaker. I read that verse in 1 Timothy 5 because it's so often ignored. The wife is the despot of the home. She rules the home. There are areas where husbands and wives are to be dominant in. And the home is where my wife is dominant. What? She knows much more about what's going on in my home than I do with our children. We talk over things together, but when she desires to do certain things, like put up the drapes, change the furniture, whatever choice of meals, that's her decision to make, and I let her make it. Gladly, I don't want to make it, and so she is, has areas of expertise, and she really makes the decisions. Although I realize, as the head of the home, I am responsible ultimately. But we work together, as I've said before. We are a team. All of you husbands and wives are a team that is suitably compatible with each other. We correspond, and we only together can God really use us to our fullest. And if we have a spirit oneness together, if we seek to minister to the needs of each other, then the role of husband and the role of wife can fall together in place. I apologize for speaking so briefly on these roles. Time does not allow it. But I have experienced a tremendous amount of blessing and profit in this study, knowing that ministry is the goal. Self-giving ministry. And why is it? Where are my sense of security and significance found? In Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Himself who said, remember, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I should offer you a $10 reward if you can tell me where that verse is found. But I won't, because Dave might do it. Any of you men, raise your hand and tell me. Dave. Will you give me $10 if you're wrong? You'll be surprised. Actually, it's found in Acts 20:35. Look it up and read it after I pray and close.